Shalom.
Shalom. We're going to go through some scriptures again about being saved through the book of Psalms, Deuteronomy, Ephesians, Romans, especially Romans and Ephesians and Colossians, Mark, Luke, and winding up with the book of Acts. So starting out, though, with Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, and there is a need for this teaching today because so many seem to pick up on the phrase being born again. And then, of course, their lives may or may not be what we think that they should be, but one famous political figure, a guy running for office, claimed that he was born again, and it seemed the only motive was to get votes. We didn't see any manifestation of any repentance or of wanting to be immersed or baptized. So who, what, when, how are we to be saved? Going to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Good day to you here on YahvahYahweh.name. Deuteronomy 30, starting at verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, or as a witness, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. This means spiritual life and spiritual death, spiritual blessings and spiritual cursings in this particular chapter. So therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. This is Yahweh speaking. Then in verse 20, that thou mayest love Yahweh, thy Elohim, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest tabernacle or dwell in the land which Yahweh sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. We read from Deuteronomy 30, then turn right to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24 at verse 15. And again, the tetragrammaton YHVH is spoken here and not a title, the Lord, which is sometimes connected with Adonai or Master or Baal. Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve Yahweh, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the Elohim which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the Elohim of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. And the people answered and said, Yahweh forbid that we should forsake Yahweh to serve other Elohim. For Yahweh, our Elohim, he it is that brought us up out of our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did these great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And Yahweh drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will also serve Yahweh, for he is our mighty one, or he is our Yah. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve Yahweh, for he is a separated Yahweh. He is a jealous Yahweh. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Verse 20, if you forsake Yahweh and serve strange Elohim, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that he has done you good. So that's the bad news. Verse 21, and the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve Yahweh. So they're making this pledge here. We will serve Yahweh. And Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourselves. You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen Yahweh to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, he said, the strange Elohim which are among you, and incline your heart unto Yahweh, Elohim of Israel. Yisrael. And the people said unto Yahshua, Yahweh, our Elohim, we will serve, and his voice will we obey. That was chapter 24. Then we go up to the book of Psalms, or Tehillim, more correctly. Psalm 25. As we are saved by his unmerited favor, commonly called grace, and not works, lest any man should boast. I'm quoting from Ephesians 2, and then 8 through 10, and it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Messiah, unto good works, in his image. So Psalm 25, 8 through 14 now, if you're there. Good and upright is Yahweh, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way. All the paths of Yahweh are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Yahweh, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. As David prays this great prayer, this powerful prayer, very close relationship with Yahweh, that it is his faith, his belief, his religion, and his doctrine to fear and to obey Yahweh and to love him. So verse 12, what man is he that feareth Yahweh? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of Yahweh is with them that fear him, and he will show them, so Yahweh will show them his covenant. We are in a covenantal relationship with Yahweh. People say, well, I have a relationship, I don't have religion. Well, we have to look at the word religion there. A lot of people have that say these things. No, they don't have a religion, nor do they have a relationship, it seems. Now, that's just by observation. When we don't see them going to church, we see them doing the same things as the pagans did, the same things as they did before they said that they were saved. And it is not up to us or of any significant concern as to what they do or what they don't do, but still, if they are testifying to us that they are saved, and yet they say, well, I have a relationship with him. I'm so close to him. I just love him. He's my buddy. Well, is that truthful to tell one another these things, that the Father or Jesus or somebody is my buddy, and not show an outward manifestation coming from the inward, the converted heart, the intents of our heart? No, we must have a covenant, a relationship, and our faith. We'll get to that word religion again someday, or perhaps today. Psalm 18 then, going back to Psalm 18, verse 30, as for Yahweh, his way is perfect. The word of Yahweh is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is Yahweh save Yahweh? Or who is a rock? Now that rock there is a word that symbolizes the Messiah. Who is a rock save our Yahweh or Elohim? And then, we know about being converted. Well, no, we don't. The word convert is only, as I could find, it's only used once in the Old Testament. And quite a number of times, though, in the New. We're going to be going to Matthew 18 after this. But Psalm 19 first, if you would. You know that often repeated Psalm and Song 19. The Torah of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. Yeah, we're converted not by doing works, but by the Spirit of Yahweh. The Torah of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul, and the testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. And then keep reading. Now, about being converted, then, we must go also to the Brit Hadashah. In Matthew 18, verse 3, here in the Newer Testament. And it would also help to have a Hebrew idiom paraphrase, and we can get that from Jews for Yeshua, and we're going to be using that here in a moment. Matthew 18, 3, and Yahweh said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. In another place, he said to be humbled. And then he said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Whether that's a physical location or a spiritualized one, we can't enter into it without His Spirit, without being immersed in the Spirit, without being immersed in the water, in His name, in the true name of Yahweh. Mark 4:12 then. It is the same as Isaiah or Yeshayahu 28:11, Mark 4:12, and this will be echoed throughout some of these readings I'm going to be reading here about hearing, seeing, hearing, and listening to the Word, and actually ignoring the Word too. Mark 4:12, and then after that John 12:40, which echoes what we're saying now, or mirrors what we're saying. And greetings to you today. Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of Yahweh, as Yahweh spoke to His chosen ones. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing that they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. Yes, our sins should have been forgiven. Our hearts should have been converted. But yet, are we like this person who says, "I am saved," and yet there is no evidence? If we were tried by a jury, would we be convicted of that, of having salvation by our Heavenly Father, Yahweh? Well, very early in someone's walk in their salvation, it may be just a very primary elementary experience, a childlike experience where we really don't have that much to show. We don't know that much about being a believer and you know how we're supposed to behave and how we are supposed to address our Father. What name do we use? Should we stand or pray, or you know what should be our posture and what should be our train of thought and our heart? What should be our thoughts all the time? Should our thoughts always be on Him? Well, yes, but without having read the Word and knowing what the Scriptures say, we may not really be able to act that out in our life. And not just act, but do it. I didn't mean to use the word acting there. We're not acting, we're actual servants and warriors and prayer warriors. Yes, we're that too, but we're ministers to Yahweh. We're ministers to one another. So go to John next, if you would. Yochanan chapter 12. We just heard from Mark there. That Mark chapter 12, where Messiah said that sometimes that we just don't get it. Okay, here we go now. John 12:40. But though He had done so many miracles, the Messiah had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on Him. That would be the key word there, on Him. And that the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, and that Isaiah is Greek there, that the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which He spake, "Yahweh, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed?" Therefore, they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he has said again, and I quote, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and then I should heal them." These things Isaiah said when he saw His glory and spake of Him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on Him. Many believed on Him. But, there's that word, that conjunction there, but. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him. You know, you couldn't really see it by the way they lived, because they were afraid of what other people thought about them when they became, quote, saved or, quote, religious. There's nothing wrong with the word religion if it's the true religion that James talks about in the book of James. But later on that, okay, I'll hold up on that. But the Pharisees did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Have any of you been kicked out of churches for being a stronger believer? Well, I think you have. For they love the praise of men. The Pharisees loved the praise, the Pharisees of that time anyway, loved the praise of men more than the praise of Yahweh. And Yahushua, Messiah, cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me. Let's see here. Did I read that? He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. That should be a capital H there. In the sometimes the scriptures do not use the proper punctuation and English rules here. Believe not on me, but on him, that is, on the Father that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. We see the Father through the Word, through the Messiah. Then he said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Now, that in contrast with, if we look in the book of the Revelation at the end of the story there, or in our future, and we see he is the warrior. The Messiah is the warrior. But here, at this particular time, he came to his people, to Israel, to bring them the message, the good news, that they were following the traditions of men, of other people who didn't really believe in the authority and the sovereignty of the Word. So let that be in our hearts. So he said, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. And starting with his own people. He that rejecteth me and receive not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day, for I have not spoken of myself. But the Father, which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And let's go to that book of the Revelation next. We're about 15 minutes into the podcast so far today, and going to Revelation next, about what it looks like and how should we think. What should our attitudes be in salvation in Messiah, and giving praise to the Father for that sending the Son to have died for us on the tree at Calvary, for his life and then his burial, his death, and then his burial and his resurrection. That's what it's all about, that has been wrought in us. His righteousness by his Spirit has been wrought in us in his wonderful power of his Spirit and the Word of Yahweh, that we confess with our mouth that Messiah is Master, King of Kings, King of all. Are you there yet in Revelation? Okay. This is the Messiah speaking to us in Revelation 3, the revelation of Yochanan, unto the messenger of the assembly in Sardis. And I changed two words there to their proper rendition. Angel was changed to messenger, and the word church there should be changed to assembly, if we look that up in the Greek lexicon. And look at the pagan derivatives of some of those words. Unto the messenger of the assembly in Sardis write, These things saith he that has the seven spirits of Yahweh and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before Yahweh. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. That was Yochanan the Immerser's message, his baptism of repentance. And so Messiah tells us as well, and likewise, hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his messengers. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the assemblies. Messiah spoke to us, the King of Kings, the Governor of our souls, the Mighty One of Israel, Messiah speaks. And then in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins or transgressions of his law, then in Ephesians 5:23, speaking there of the type of the husband and the wife, symbolizing the relationship that the bride, the assembly, has to the husbandman, to Messiah. For the husband is the head of the wife. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Messiah is the head of the assembly. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the assembly is subject unto Messiah, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And you could read more about that in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Then in Romans chapter 8. And first of all, we have the modern versions. Romans chapter 8 in the King James, verses 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Messiah, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now let's read that with the Hebrew idioms and nuances from Jews for Messiah, Jews for Yeshua, in Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation ending in spiritual death to those who are in the Messiah Yeshua, or Yahusha, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Ruach. And then in the next, we'll go back to King James now for verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah has made me free from the law of sin and death. And 2. There. And then in the from the Hebrew idioms and nuances, paraphrase by Hezekiah, a Jew for Yeshua. Let's read 8, verse 2, because the King James says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Messiah has made me free from the law of sin and death. What is that sin and the law of sin and death? For the law of the Ruach of life in the Messiah, Yahusha, has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death. Yes, that was under the Old Testament law that was enacted, and the civil penalties, one of them, well, you know what that was. And then we'll go to verse 7. That's in chapter 8, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh, for it is not subject to the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. I'm not actually reading the King James verbatim, taking out the common title there of G-O-D, and rendering that to the law of Yahweh. Let's look there in verse 7 for the Hebrew idioms and nuances. Because the fleshly mind is bitterly opposed to Yahweh, for it is not submissive to the Torah of Yahweh, or Yahweh, nor indeed can be. So then those who follow after the animal nature of their fleshly cravings cannot please Yahweh. But you are not walking after the fleshly nature, but after the Ruach, if indeed the Ruach of Yahweh dwells in you. And understand that if anyone does not have the Ruach sent by Yahusha Messiah, then he does not belong to Yahweh. But if the Messiah of Yahweh is in you, the body will still die because of Torah violation. But the Ruach will bring you new life because of righteousness, both in this life and in the life to come. And if the Ruach of Yahweh, who raised Messiah from the dead, dwells in you, then Yahuwah, or Yahweh, who raised his anointed one from the dead, will also give life to you through his Ruach who dwells in you, though you are still dwelling in physical bodies that will someday die. And then the next thing there, in the paraphrase, we changed an expression he made to children of Yahweh and brothers. It reads, it should read, I believe, "Now children of Yahweh are not of the accuser, therefore brothers," we'll leave out the next three words, "therefore brothers, we are in debt not to the sin nature to live according to the desires of the flesh, for you, if you live according to the lusts and impulses of the flesh, or impulses of the flesh, you will die. But if by the Ruach you put to death the practices and cravings of your fleshly body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Ruach of Yahweh, these are sons of Yahweh. For you did not receive the Ruach of enslavement again to fear, but you received the Ruach of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Ruach Spirit itself, bearing witness," and I made a change there, "but the Spirit itself bearing witness with our Ruach that we are the sons of Yahweh. And if sons, then heirs, heirs of Yahweh and joint heirs with His Anointed One. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be exalted together with Him." And that was copyrighted by Torah and Testimony Revealed. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Regarding this doctrine of what does a person do if they say, they come up and they say they're saved. Now make me a leader. Make me the pastor. Make me the leader of the House of Commons or government of somewhere in America. So here it is. Dead to Torah violations, alive to Yahweh. And the King James says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Yahweh forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us were immersed or baptized into Messiah, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. As Messiah was raised up from the dead by the glory of Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection." If we are planted together in the likeness of His death. So that's going down into the watery grave. It says there in John chapter 3 that we must be born again, born of the water and of the Spirit. And then verse 6. Well, I think I'm going to go to the Hebrew idioms and nuances there and read this whole portion in chapter 6, verse 1, because it does give a lot better meaning, in-depth meaning. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue to violate Torah, so that Yahweh's favor may abound?" Verse 2, "Of course not. How shall we who died to Torah violation live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were immersed in the water into the Messiah, Yahushua, were immersed in the water into His death? Therefore, we are buried with Him through immersion into death, so that even as Yahweh's anointed was raised from the dead by the power and majesty of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be united together in the likeness of His resurrection." Verse 6, "Knowing this, that our old nature was crucified or impaled with Him, so that our sin-driven bodies might be made powerless, and that we should no longer be slaves to that sin nature or sinful nature." Even more clearly there. All right, and you might enjoy reading more in the book of Romans, as well as Ephesians, Colossians, and books of John, by going to that website there, jewsforyeshua.com. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 now, about our salvation. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2 through 6. And he says, the Apostle Paul says, "By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Verse 3, 1 Corinthians 15, 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." So here we go with number 1 now. How that, 1, Messiah died for our sins according to the Scriptures, 2, and that He was buried, 3, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of 12, after that He was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Then Marcos 16:16. He that believes and is immersed shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. So we must be immersed to be saved, according to Mark 16:16, and many, many other scriptures here that we give, and many others that we don't give. Look up the word buried. Look up the word baptism. So, do we believe in the Messiah? Here's the question now. The question and answer period has begun there. So, do we believe in Messiah, in the authority and the sovereignty of His Word? Do we really do that? For the base of your reasoning, do you believe only in the Word of Yahweh, or do you believe in the Word of Yahweh plus some other book, some other work? So if we're believing in other works, whether it be Ellen G. White, Sarah Young, Kenneth Copeland, whoever it might be, we may not be following Yahweh. If we're even following a D.L. Moody or some commentary or another, we may not be getting right down deeply enough to the concise Word of Yahweh, where it really does harmonize with itself. The Word harmonizes with itself because we'll look up a word here about, for example, about baptism. We'll look it up there, here a little, there a little, and we'll not be tripped up by that. If we can get the full harmony of the scriptures, the ones that have to do with the same subject or teaching, and just look all those up throughout the scripture. If you, unless there's hundreds of them and you don't have that much time, just look up half a dozen, like I've been doing here. Colossians 2:2 says, Paul says in Colossians, to the Colossians and also to you and to me, we're buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of Yahweh, who has raised him from the dead. And then we're going to continue in that Colossians 2:12. But we want to continue there with the Hebrew idioms recognized, that we must recognize the idioms in here, that it talks about the blotting out the certificate of indebtedness that was against us, and people seem to think that that means blotting out the Ten Commandments and the statutes and judgments, which we are told are eternal, which are forever. And, you know, there's other expressions that seem to indicate. So anyway, let's just listen to this real quickly. The Hebrew idioms in Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your violations of the Torah and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, is made alive together with him after having forgiven all your Torah violations. Verse 14, having wiped out the record of debt. There's that expression, the certificate of indebtedness and so on that we find in the so many modern translations that seem to throw our mind off when we come into the assemblies and we come into it from out of the world. We have our preconceived ideas that it's just an idea, just a process of raising our hand and saying, yes, I love you. I love you, Father. I give my life to you. And now everything I do, including all my work, watching television, riding a boat, or rather cruising in a boat, skiing down a mountaintop, whatever I do on any day of the week, including the Sabbath, I dedicate it all to you. I just dedicate my whole life while I'm fooling around. Whatever it is, I just dedicate it to you. Watching TV, you know, cartoons or some crazy thing or another, watching Oprah, some of those old reruns and stuff. No, we're not giving it all to him. We have to give him our worship and our time, our dedication, our study time. Having wiped out the record of debt, the judgment brought down and written against us and held against us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the torture stake or to the tree. Having disarmed the rulers and authorities of darkness, he triumphed over them publicly, putting them to shame, and triumphed over them concerning this. Let no man condemn you, therefore, in eating or in drinking, or in participating regarding a festival, the new moon, or Sabbaths, which are but a shadow of things to come for the whole body of Messiah. And that was the Hebrew idiom recognized by JewsForYeshua.com in Colossians chapter 2, which is one of the ones that we, most of us trip over, even Messianics trip over their tongues and over their doctrine in not correctly understanding some of these things. And we'll come into deeper understanding as time goes by. Sometimes we'll never know everything until we get to heaven, right? That's what people say. We're not going to heaven. We're going to New Jerusalem. So I'll take you up on that. I'll see you there. Now, Luke 3:21. Let's keep going here. Now, when all the people were immersed or baptized, it came to pass that Messiah also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. Now, let's read that again because it was really short. Now, when all the people were immersed, it came to pass that Messiah also being immersed and praying, the heaven was open. So the purpose of that is to show that Messiah was also baptized, being obedient to his own law, that we must be immersed in him. Praise Yah for that. Yes, and also that he not only gave us an example, he gave us an example, yes, and he did it, but not in our stead, but he did it to show us that we must walk in his steps, that we are to follow him and follow the Messiah and do the things that he did. Now to the book of Acts, chapter 8. They believed Philip. When they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of Yahweh and the name of Yahusha Messiah, then they were immersed or baptized, men and women both. That's in Acts 8. Then in Acts 13, I'm not giving you exhaustively all the scriptures about being baptized, not even in Acts, but one of them is Acts 8, but the other is 13:24. But when Yochanan had first preached before his coming, the baptism or the immersion of repentance to all the people of Israel. And we look up the baptism of repentance there in Matthew 3, saying, repent, for the kingdom of Yahweh is at hand. Yochanan the immerser is baptizing. This is he that was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of Yahweh, make his paths straight. And the same Yochanan had his raiment of camel's hair. Then verse 5, we skip up to, then went out to Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And so he's talking about repenting here to confess our sins publicly when we are baptized. And we didn't hear that great presidential candidate back in 2016 out confessing that he had any sins. But maybe something else went on that I don't know about. Maybe we didn't hear that. The news media doesn't always report all the truth, and sometimes they don't report the truth. And then Acts 19, verses 4 through 6, then Shaul is talking, and he said, Yochanan, or John, verily baptized with the, or immersed, rather, with the immersion of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on the Messiah. When they heard this, they were immersed in the name of the Master Yahusha. And when Shaul had laid his hands upon them, the Ruach HaKadosh, that's the pure spirit, commonly called Holy Ghost, came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. That's right, after they were baptized there in 19, there were other variations of that. But anyway, that's a couple of places in the book of Acts where immersion definitely, well, we didn't do Acts 2:38. That would be very important to read that. Men and brethren, what should we do to be saved? It's asked there. And so I didn't read Acts 2:38. Maasa 2:38. That should be the basis of our living out the life of Yahweh as a true believer, to follow this. In the day of first fruits here, the day of commonly called Pentecost, from the Greek, and using the King James as a guide. Okay. Then Kepha said unto them, Repent, and be immersed every one of you, in the name of Yahusha Messiah, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKadosh. See also chapter 10:46, 19 verse 1 in Acts, and Ezekiel 18:30. And then we continue, For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as our Master, our Elohim, shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation, or crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were immersed, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And so they went home and just lived like they had always lived. No, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, or teaching, and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, or emissaries, more correctly. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Now, this is not promoting socialism. And they sold their possessions and goods. Now, they didn't sell everything, obviously, or they wouldn't have been able to eat without any utensils or plates. But they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising Yahweh and having favor with all the people. And Yahweh added to the assembly daily such as should be saved. And that's the end of chapter Maasa, chapter 2. And what a beautiful time it is to come together on the Sabbath day and any time to praise Him and to understand and to respect and to be grateful for the word of Yahweh. Even the Berean call is giving respect to the word of Yahweh, despite the fact they speak against the law of Yahweh. But the people are lifting up, when they're lifting up Yahweh and as making that the absolute truth is coming out to them as they read by the Ruach HaKadosh, the absolute truth of Yahweh's word. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to us. What a powerful thing. What a life-transforming, what an experience it is to be in Yahweh's kingdom and to hold hands with the King of Kings and being guided by the Ruach HaKadosh, by the Spirit, all the time in our activities. And some of those activities could be spiritual activities. I guess I didn't do that in the book of James. We have a little bit of time left here to, only about 40-some minutes so far we've done. So just another minute or two going to the book of James. About that word religion, that just bugs me when people say that I'm not religious, I'm just spiritual. And then it goes on into I don't do anything. I wind up by, I just got saved, and then 50 years later, I'm still, that was it. That was all there was to it. I drink my tea with a little bit of sugar or something, and I'm a teetotaler. I put some toast in there, I guess. Milk Toast Christians, they were called. Not to be overly critical of everybody out there, I'm not perfect either. I don't want to give anybody that idea. Okay, James 1:17. Now, how about 1:16? Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. See Malachi 3:6. Of his own will, he begat us. He begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of Yahweh. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Now, could I do that? Could I forget that I am a born-again creature of Yahweh? Yes, I could forget that. We still have some of that human proclivity to be stripped out of us someday. Someday, praise Yahweh. So I'm getting to it now in the theme here about religion here in a moment. Verse 25, but whosoever looks unto the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, oh, there's that word again. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So religion can be a thing that's not real good, but religion can be very good. So listen to the next scripture verse here. Pure religion and undefiled before Yahweh and the Father is this. So pure belief or pure faith, you could change that word if you wanted to. If you hate the word doctrine and religion, go ahead and change it. We don't care. But Yahweh may. Pure religion and undefiled before Yahweh and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. That's number one there, to visit the fathers and widows. And the orphans and the widows mentioned in the Old Testament and in the New here. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. Well, that doesn't sound like much. To be unspotted, no, that entails everything in our life, that we have to be unspotted from the world, but that requires a lot of work, a lot of teaching, a lot of pressing our nose to the scriptures and studying them and getting up to speed on what really is going on. As the world turns, I always kind of look down at some of the events going on that I'm not as concerned about the world events as I am as in the one who has created the world and who is guiding us along from moment to moment, following him and giving us direction, if we're listening to him, that is. So as much as he guides us into that perfect path of liberty that leads to life by trusting in his righteousness, not in our works, lest any man should boast, but trusting in Yahweh's righteousness by being like him, being righteous, spirit-wrought righteousness that goes right down deep into the seat of our understanding, learning, and decision, the seat of our decision-making place there, right into our mind and heart, and then that acting out and coming out and manifesting itself as Yahweh's creation, that we are still under construction at this time, but we will be fully in his image and fully acceptable in his sight, yes, as the scripture says, pure and acceptable in his sight. Oh, the mighty Redeemer has come to save us, that we were lost. We were Israel. We are lost. We are Ephraim. We are rebellious. Most of us were, you know, we consider ourselves, well, we weren't that bad, but some of us were terrible. We stuck. We are naughty and nasty and a real jerk, you know. So he brought us out of that sort of lifestyle into being the perfect creature that does, anyway, the more perfect creature, let me say, that he has created us in, and that you are walking in his unmerited favor right now. And we will continue to pray for one another, and especially for them out there, those in Israel, those in the land that are maybe not saved yet. Maybe they're being afflicted. Some of them are being afflicted because they are not seeking him out any further. Let them open up and listen. Open the door of their heart and listen to Yahweh's word. But anyway, to listen to the word of Yahweh. And I just cannot emphasize that enough. So I guess I'll quit then, because I need to let you go on and do that and study the word. Thank you very much. And this has been about who, what, where, when, how we are saved, and what does that really look like to the Father. it all is for His esteem, for His splendor, some say glory. It's for His splendor that we are alive today and that we are on this place on the earth. And hit the email button, and then just we'll have a really good time hearing from you that that you're doing good in Messiah. Okay. Well, Maranatha, and until next time, or until we hear from you, Shalom.
Rise up against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be...